Right night, I whispered to my horse, slipping her a piece of sugar before heading back to the palace.
Edlin,
someone called as I entered the palace. It was Kyle. He was talking with Henry, Eric, Fox, and Burke. He gave the others a sign to wait for him and jogged down the hall to me.
Hey,
he said, his crooked smile settling on his face. He looked a little nervous.
How are you?
Good. I was talking with some of the guys, and we have a proposal for you.
I sighed. Another one?
Huh?
Nothing. I shook my head to clear it. Should I come speak to them now?
Well, yeah, but I wanted to ask you something first.
Sure. Kyle stuffed his hands in his pockets.
Are we okay?
I squinted.
Kyle, you realize you're not actually my boyfriend, right?
He chuckled.
Yeah, I do, but I don't know. I liked having someone to show my designs to and laugh with, and I wanted to come check on you after I heard about Jack, but I was afraid you wouldn't want to talk about it. Then I was afraid that staying away would make you upset, too. Do you know how difficult you are?
I'd forget, but you keep reminding me, I teased. Kyle fidgeted.
I'll ease up. But seriously, are we okay?
I watched as he bit his lip, and I had to fight myself from daydreaming about them. He said he was here for me, so I hoped, maybe, I'd get to feel those lips again.
Yes, Kyle, we're okay. Don't worry so much.
All right, come over here. I think you're gonna like this idea.
We turned and walked down to the cluster of boys waiting. Henry immediately kissed my hand.
Hello today,
he greeted, making me laugh.
Hello, Henry. Burke.
Fox. Hi, Eric.
Your Highness, Burke began. Maybe this is out of line, but we were thinking that this election is a very challenging time for you.
I chuckled. You have no idea. Fox smiled. He and Burke looked a little comical next to each other. Burke was so burly and he was so lean.
It has to be crazy. You have your work to do, and then you need to find time to do solo dates or try to get around to everyone at a party. It seems exhausting. So we had an idea,
Kyle said.
Could the four of us do something with you this week?
This was completely brilliant.
Yes, I exclaimed. That would be great. Any ideas on what to do?
We were thinking about cooking together.
Burke's face was so happy I couldn't say no, even though that was exactly what I wanted to do.
Cooking,
I said, a fake smile plastered on my face.
Come on, Kyle urged. It'll be fun.
I exhaled nervously.
All right, cooking. How about tomorrow night?
Perfect,
Fox said quickly, like he was worried I'd change my mind.
Okay, Thursday, 6 o'clock. I'll meet you in the foyer and we can walk to the kitchens together.
This was going to be a nightmare.
If you'll excuse me, I have to get ready for dinner.
I headed upstairs wondering if there was any way to make this better. I doubted it.
Nina!
I called, walking into my room.
Yes, miss.
Can you start a bath? I need one before dinner.
Certainly.
I wrestled with my boots and flung off my dress. Besides the simple giving and responding to orders, we hadn't spoken much lately. And I had to admit, it was hard on me. My room was my retreat, the place I rested and sketched and hid from the world. Nina was a part of that, and her being upset with me set everything off kilter. I walked into the bathroom, happy to find that she was dropping pieces of lavender into the tub without me asking.
Nina, you're a mind reader.
I try, she said slyly. I moved cautiously, not wanting to anger her again.
Have you heard from Mark recently?
It seemed she couldn't help her smile.
Yes, just yesterday.
What did you say he studied again?
I slipped into the warm water, already feeling better.
Biochemistry. She looked down.
I admit,
He uses plenty of words I don't understand when he tells me about it, but I get the idea of what he means. I wasn't trying to imply I thought you were stupid, Nina. I was curious. I thought that was obvious. Biochemistry. Something about that rang a bell. She sighed and dropped more lavender into the bath. It came out much harsher than that. There are boys here from very different walks of life than mine. I can hardly stand to be in the same room with some of them. It was intriguing that the two of you do such varied jobs and still manage to share common ground. She shook her head. We work. It's not something you can figure out on paper. Some people are meant to be together. I leaned back in the tub. If there was no way to explain anything, then why bother? I thought again of Ian's offer and Kyle's worry and Hale's questions. I couldn't believe how murky everything had become. I barely understood my own feelings anymore. I knew I wanted my independence, and the idea of any man coming up behind me trying to fix my work or do it for me was unacceptable. Then I thought of Dad's gray hairs, slowly mixing in with the blonde, and wondered how far I'd go to make his life easier. It was strange. Basically, every boy downstairs was an option, if I really had to choose one. And each of them could easily hurl my world into a new trajectory. I didn't like that. I wanted to be in charge of my path. I wondered if that was the reason for putting a fence around myself, if it was the worry that anyone who crossed it would take away my control. But maybe that control was an illusion. Even if I passed on all the selected boys, would someone eventually come along and make me not even care about control? Would he cause me to hand it over willingly? It seemed impossible, something I certainly couldn't have imagined happening a few weeks ago. There were still plenty of reasons to keep my guard up, and I knew I would. Still, I didn't think I'd be able to ignore the way these boys were affecting me much longer. Chapter 23 I waited nervously in the palace foyer. I wasn't sure about what I was wearing. What did people wear to cook? Or how to fake expertise in the kitchen, or how to dispense attention evenly among four suitors. And while I knew having a photographer there was both good for publicity and personal safety, the idea of someone documenting this night did not make me feel any less jittery. I pulled at my shirt, which was rather plain in case I got dirty, and touched my hair, making sure it was still in place. The clock showed the boys were 4 minutes late, and I was getting antsy. Just as I was about to send a butler to fetch them, I heard the echo of voices in the hallway. Kyle rounded the corner first. Burke was right beside him, clearly trying to buddy up to the alleged leader of the pack. Fox was with Henry, both smiling quietly. Not far behind, Eric walked with his hands tucked behind him. His presence was necessary, but I sensed he felt a little out of place as the sole non-participant in a group date. Kyle rubbed his hands together.
You ready to eat?
Eat? Yes. Cook? We'll see how that goes. I tried to hide my worry with a smile, but I think Kyle knew.
So is it true you two have known each other your whole lives?
Burke asked. It was so abrupt. I didn't know how to respond.
Trust me, you've got the better end of the deal.
Kyle replied smoothly, elbowing him in the ribs. It's true, I confirmed. It's like Kyle said on the report. I never considered him boyfriend material until I was forced to. He's like family. Everyone laughed, and I realized how true that was. It annoyed me whenever Josie told people she was like my sister, but I did know both her and Kyle better than I knew my cousins. The kitchen is this way, I said, pointing past them to the dining hall. The staff knows we're coming, so let's go cook. Kyle shook his head at my fake enthusiasm but said nothing. We walked to the back of the dining hall and rounded a partition. There was a wide dumbwaiter the staff used to bring up carts of food next to a stairwell that led to the main kitchen. Burke rushed to my side quickly, offering his arm as we traveled down the wide steps.
"What do you want to cook tonight?"
he asked. I wondered if my face showed my shock. I really thought someone else would be providing the ideas.
"Oh, I'm kind of up for whatever,"
I hedged.
"Let's make courses," Kyle suggested. "An appetizer, an entree, and a dessert."
"That sounds good,"
Fox agreed. Eric piped up from the back.
"Henry and I will do dessert, if that's all right."
"Sure,"
Kyle answered. I could smell the dinner that was being prepared for the rest of the palace. I couldn't pinpoint everything, but there was a delicious hint of garlic in the air, and I suddenly had a new reason to hate this date. I had to postpone actually eating. In a low-ceilinged room, a dozen people with their hair pulled back tightly or tucked under scarves were running around, tossing vegetables into pots of steaming water, or double-checking the seasonings of the sauces. Despite the fact that there was still a meal to finish preparing for everyone in the palace, the staff had cleared half of the space for us to use. A man in a tall chef's hat approached us.
"Your Highness, will this be enough room?"
"More than enough, thank you." I remembered his face from a few weeks ago when he'd presented me with the sample ideas for the first dinner. I'd been so annoyed at the time. Mom did most of the choosing, and I hadn't even thought to thank him. Looking around and seeing how much work was going into a single meal, I felt ashamed of myself.
"Misa pidat hiva?"
Henry asked politely. My eyes went to Eric, who spoke up.
"Pardon me, sir, but where do you keep your yeast?"
Fox and Burke giggled, but I remembered what Eric had told me once and what was crudely worded on Henry's own application. He was a cook. The chef waved Henry down, and he and Eric followed him closely, trying to chat. The chef was clearly excited to have someone with some experience in the room. The other boys, not so much.
"Okay, so let's go see what's in the fridge."
Fox hesitantly led the way to one of several large refrigerators along the wall. I looked at the organized contents. Parchment, wrapped meats, labeled in pencil, the four different types of milk we used, and the various sauces or starters prepped and stored ahead of time, and I knew I was way out of my league. I heard a click and turned to see the photographer had arrived.
"Just pretend I'm not here," she whispered cheerfully.
Kyle grabbed some butter.
"You always need butter," he assured me.
I nodded. "Good to know." Burke found a pile of something on the counter. He turned to the chef.
"What is this?" "Phyllo paper. You can make dozens of things with that. Melt some of that butter and I'll get you some recipes."
Kyle gave me a face.
"See?" "How do we want to decide who works together?" Burke asked,
obviously hoping I'd simply go with him.
"Rock, paper, scissors?"
Fox suggested.
"That's fair,"
Kyle agreed. He and Fox went up against each other first, and though no one said it in one way or the other, they knew the losers would be stuck with each other. Kyle beat both Fox and Burke. Fox took it in stride, but Burke had no talent at masking his emotions. The two of them picked an appetizer to make together. Asparagus wrapped with prosciutto and phyllo, while Kyle and I were left staring at some chicken, trying to figure out what to do with it.
"So what's step one?"
I asked.
"I cooked plenty when I was away in Finley, but I need a recipe at least. I bet those books would help."
We walked over to a cupboard that contained dozens of cookbooks. Most of them had markers hanging in multiple places, and there were piles of note cards next to them with more ideas. As Kyle flipped through the pages, I played with the jars of herbs. The kitchen made me think of what a scientist's lab would look like, only with food. I opened some, inhaling them or feeling the texture.
"Smell this," I insisted, holding up a jar to Kyle.
"What's that?"
"Saffron. Doesn't it smell delicious?" He smiled at me and went straight to the back of the book he was holding.
"Aha,"
he said, turning forward to find his page.
"Saffron chicken. Want to give that a try?"
"Sure."
I clutched the jar in my hand like it was my big contribution to the night.
"All right,
saffron chicken. So let's preheat the oven.
I stood next to him, staring at the buttons and dials. Probably the ovens in normal people's homes didn't look like this, but this massive industrial setup seemed like it might launch a satellite if we touched the wrong thing. We looked at the stove like it might give us some instructions if we waited long enough.
Should I get more butter? I asked.
Shut up, Edlin.
The chef walked past and mumbled,
Dial on the left, 350.
Kyle reached over and turned it, as if he knew what to do the whole time. I glanced toward Fox and Burke. Burke was clearly acting as their leader and loudly giving orders. Fox didn't seem to mind at all, laughing and joking without being obnoxious. They peeked back over at us several times, Burke sneaking in a wink now and then. Past them, Eric and Henry were working quietly, with Eric doing a minimal amount of labor, only assisting when Henry asked for it. Henry's sleeves were rolled up, and he'd gotten some flour on his pants, and I kind of loved that he didn't seem to care about it. Eric was a little messy himself, and he didn't bother wiping any of it off either. I looked at Kyle, who was buried in the cookbook. I'll be right back.
Sure.
As I walked away, I heard him quietly try to get the chef's attention.
Looking good, boys, I said, pausing by Fox. Thanks. This is actually kind of soothing. I never cooked much at home. Nothing like this, anyway. But I'm looking forward to trying it.
Fox's hands stuttered for a moment, trying to find his rhythm again.
This will be the best asparagus you've ever had, Burke promised.
I can't wait, I replied, moving to the far end of the table. Eric looked up, greeting me with a smile.
Your Highness, how's our dinner looking?
Very bad indeed, I promised. He chuckled and told Henry the state of our poor supper. Their hands were covered in dough, and I could see bowls of cinnamon and sugar waiting to be used. This looks promising, though. Do you cook as well, Eric?
Oh, not professionally. But I live on my own, so I cook for myself. And I love all the traditional Swedish foods. This is a favorite.
Eric turned to Henry, and I could tell they were talking about food, because Henry was alight with excitement.
Oh, yeah. Henry was just saying there's this soup he has when he's sick. It's got potatoes and fish and... Oh, I miss my mother just thinking about it.
I smiled, trying to imagine Eric alone trying to master his mother's meals, and Henry in the back of a restaurant already having conquered every recipe in his family's memory. I kept worrying that Eric felt like an outcast. He certainly worked to separate himself from the selected. He dressed differently, walked at a slower pace, and even carried himself a little lower. But watching him here, interacting with Henry, who was too kind for me to dismiss, I was so grateful for his presence. He brought a little piece of home to a situation twice removed from Henry's idea of normal. I stepped away, allowing them to work, and went back to my station. Kyle had collected some ingredients in my absence. He was dicing garlic on a wooden brick next to a bowl of something that looked like yogurt.
There you are, he greeted. Okay, crush those saffron threads, and then mix them in the bowl.
After a moment of blank staring, I picked up the tiny bowl and mallet I assumed was meant for thread crushing, and started pressing. It was a strangely satisfying exercise. Kyle did most of the work, smothering the chicken with the yogurt mix and throwing it in the oven. The other teams were at various stages of prep as well, and in the end, the dessert was ready first, followed by the appetizer, and our entree pulled up the rear. Realizing belatedly that Kyle and I should have made something to go with our chicken, we decided to use the wrapped asparagus as a side, all laughing at how poorly we'd planned this. The whole lot of us crowded around one end of the long table. I was sandwiched between Burke and Kyle, with Henry across from me and Fox at the head. Eric was slightly removed, but still clearly enjoying the company. Honestly, I was too. Cooking made me nervous, because it was totally foreign to me. I didn't know how to cut or sauté or anything, and I despised failing or looking foolish. but the majority of us had limited experience, and instead of it becoming a stressor, it became a joke, making this one of the most relaxed meals I'd ever had. No formal place settings, no assigned seats, and since nearly all the china was in use for our very full house, we were using plain plates that looked so old, the only reason they could possibly still be here was sentimentality.
Okay, since they were supposed to be the appetizer, I think we should try the asparagus first,
Kyle insisted.
Let's do it.
Burke speared his asparagus and took a bite, and we all followed. It appeared the results were inconsistent. Henry nodded approvingly. But mine tasted awful. I could tell Fox's was bad as well, based on his poorly concealed grimace.
That is the worst thing I've ever tasted,
Fox said, trying to chew.
Mine's good,
Burke said defensively. You're probably just not used to eating such quality food. Fox ducked his head, and I gathered something I wouldn't have known otherwise. Fox was poor. Can I try a bite of yours? I whispered to Henry, using my hands and happy to find he understood without Eric's help. Do you mind? Fox replied quietly, and I pretended to be too focused on the food to hear him. And Henry's piece actually was much better.
Who's to say it's not because of your cooking? Well, maybe if I had a better partner,
Burke snapped.
Hey, Kyle insisted. There's no way yours could be worse than ours.
I giggled, trying to break the tension. I could feel Burke's anger like an actual, physical thing hanging in the air, and I wanted nothing more than to return to the relaxed feeling we had when we'd sat down. All right, I said with a sigh. I think the first thing we need to do is cut each piece of chicken in half to make sure it's cooked through. I seriously don't want to kill anyone.
Are you doubting me?
Kyle asked, offended.
Definitely.
I took a tentative bite, and it was pretty good. It wasn't undercooked. In fact, some of the edges were a little dry, where the paste hadn't covered it all. But it was edible. Considering that I'd only done a fraction of the work, I was maybe a little too proud. We ate, sharing pieces of the asparagus that hadn't turned out too bad, though I genuinely worried I might be sick later. Finally, I'd had enough. I'm ready for dessert. Henry chuckled in understanding and went over to where his pastries were cooling on a rack. With careful movements, only using the edges of his fingers, even though the rolls seemed firm, he transferred them all to a plate and set them in front of us.
"Is korva pusti," he said, giving the dish a name.
Then, taking my hand, he gave me a very important speech. I could tell by the intensity in his eyes. I wished so badly that I could understand him on my own. When he finished, Eric smiled and turned to me.
"Korva pusti is one of Henry's favorite things to prepare as well as eat. He says that if you do not like it, you should send him home tonight, for he's sure your relationship could not survive if you aren't as in love with this as he is."
Fox laughed at my shocked face, but Henry nodded, assuring me he meant it. I took a deep breath and picked up one of the delicately rolled pastries. Here goes nothing. Right away, I could taste the cinnamon. There was something else in there that reminded me of grapefruit, but I knew that wasn't it. It was deliciously sweet, but more than it being a fantastic recipe, I could tell it was made by a fantastic chef. Henry had poured himself into this, and I was willing to bet part of that was for me, but I thought it was mostly for himself, that he couldn't allow himself to make it anything less than incredible. I was blown away. It's perfect, Henry. The others grabbed pieces and shoved them into their mouths, grunting in approval. My mom would be dying right now. She has such a sweet tooth, I said. Kyle was nodding with his eyes wide. He knew how she was about desserts. This is great, Henry. Nice job to you too, Eric. Eric shook his head.
I barely helped. Was this rigged?
Burke asked, his mouth half full with the pastry. We all looked at him confused.
I mean, I came up with this idea. and then Henry jumped in on it, just to show the rest of us up.
His face was turning red, and that feeling of unease was filling the room again. Fox put a hand on his shoulder.
Calm down, man. It's just a cinnamon roll.
Burke shrugged it off and threw the rest of his dessert across the room.
I would have done way better if you weren't there screwing me up the whole time.
Fox made a face.
Hey, you were the one standing there talking about how hot she was when you should have been watch.
Burke threw a punch that knocked Fox back several steps. I sucked in a breath, frozen. Fox came back at him, and I was pushed to the floor by Burke's arm, pulling back for another punch.
Whoa!
Kyle jumped over me and started pulling at Burke, while Henry was yelling at Fox in Finnish. After everything with Jack, my new instinct was to get back up and throw a punch. No one was going to hurt me and get away with it. And I might have tried, if it wasn't for one thing. Eric, the quiet observer, had launched himself over the table to pick me up.
Come,
he said. I wasn't particularly a fan of obeying orders, but he said it so urgently, I followed. Chapter 24 Eric rushed me up the stairs and into the dining hall. Everyone else in the palace was in the middle of their dinner, and the room felt too loud.
Edlin?
Daddy called, but Eric kept me moving, somehow knowing that I couldn't bear to stay there. He only paused when we got to the end of the room, and just long enough to pass along the problem.
Pardon me, officer. Some of the selected are in a fight in the kitchen. It's very physical, and it looked to be escalating.
Thank you.
The officer motioned to two other guards, and they followed him as he ran toward the fray. I realized I was hugging myself, both frightened and enraged. Eric gently placed a hand on my back and ushered me away. My parents were calling after me, but I couldn't deal with that many people right now, surrounding me, asking questions. He slowed and asked me quietly,
Where do you want to go?
My room.
Lead the way.
He didn't touch me exactly, except for the occasional brush against my back, which made me realize he must have kept his hand there the whole time. Inches away from me, just in case. I pushed open my door and Nina was inside, polishing the table, filling the room with the scent of lemons. My lady? I held up a hand.
Maybe go get her some tea,
Eric offered. She nodded and rushed away. I walked over to my bed and took a few deep breaths. Eric stood there, calm and silent. I've never seen anything like that. I confessed. He got down on a knee so he was level with me. My father has never so much as swatted my hand, and he's always taught us to seek peaceful resolutions. Kyle and I gave up trying to fight each other before we could really talk. I remembered this all with a laugh. When we were down there, all I could think about was how I ran from Jack. Burke knocked me to the ground, and this time I was going to fight back. But I just realized I'd have no idea how to do it. Eric smiled.
Henry says, when you're upset, the look in your eyes is as strong as a punch. You're not powerless.
I ducked my head, thinking of how I told myself over and over that no one in the world was as powerful as me. There was truth to it, sure. But if Jack had pinned me to the ground, or Burke had turned his fists on me, my crown would have done me no good until after the fact. I could punish, but I couldn't prevent.
You know, boy or girl, I think aggression is a sign of weakness. I'm always more impressed when people can end something with words.
His eyes were seeing another place and time when he went on.
Maybe that's why language became so important to me. My father, he always used to say, Iko, words are weapons. They are all you need.
Iko? I asked. He grinned, a little embarrassed.
E-I-K-K-O. Like I said, Eric is the closest in English.
I like it. Really. He turned his attention back to me, looking at my arms.
Are you hurt?
Oh,
I don't think so. I felt a little sore from hitting the ground, but it was nothing serious. I just can't believe how fast it happened.
I don't want to excuse either of them at all. That was unacceptable.
But I hear the guys talking and they're stressed. They all want to impress you, but they have no idea how to do it, considering who you are. Some talk about trying to undermine others without getting caught. A few are working out at every turn to be physically superior. I understand that it's a lot of pressure, and that's probably why Burke snapped. But that will never make it okay.
I'm so sorry you have to be around that.
He shrugged. It's fine. Mostly I just stick with Henry and Kyle. Sometimes Hale. And they're good company. Not that I'd ever try to choose for you, but the three of them are a pretty safe place to start.
I smiled. I think you're right. Though I hadn't spent one-on-one time with everyone yet, I already knew Hale was a good guy. And seeing Henry so excited about his food tonight, about this part of his life, gave me a glimpse of the person behind the barrier. And Kyle, well, I didn't know what to make of Kyle, but he was a better companion than I'd given him credit for. Would you tell Henry for me how wonderful his food was? I could tell how important it was to him, and I admire his passion.
I will, happily.
I extended my hand and he gave me his, resting them both on my knee. Thank you so much for this. You really went above and beyond tonight, and I'm so thankful you were here.
It's the least I could do.
I tilted my head, really looking at him. It felt like something had just happened, but I didn't know what it was. Eric, without knowing me, had done so much right. He pulled me away before I made the situation worse, got me to solitude before I lost control of my emotions, and stayed with me, listening to my worries and making everything better with his words. There were scores of people on call, ready to do whatever I asked. It was so funny to me that with him, I didn't even have to ask. I won't forget this, Aiko. Not ever. There was a tiny lift of a smile at the sound of his given name, and he squeezed my hand ever so slightly. I remembered the feeling of my first date with Hale, how I felt when I was sure he'd peeled everything back and had seen the real me. This time, I felt like I was on the other side of that, looking past duty and worry and rank, seeing the true heart of a person. And his was so beautiful. Nina came back in carrying a tray, and Eric and I ripped our hands apart.
Are you all right, my lady?
Yes, Nina, I promised her standing. There was a fight, but Eric got me away. I'm sure the guards will come with a report soon. In the meantime, I just need to calm down.
The tea will help. I got some chamomile. And we'll get you into something comfortable before you need to report anywhere,
Nina said, already making my night easier by planning it. I turned back to Eric, who was standing by the door. He bowed deeply.
Good night, Your Highness.
Good night.
He walked away quickly, and Nina came over, handing me a cup of tea. The strange thing was, my hands were already so warm. About an hour later, I met Mom and Dad in the office to discuss what had happened.
Sir Fox looks pretty bad, a guard relayed. Sir Henry tried to pull him away, but Sir Burke was practically unstoppable. Both Sir Henry and Sir Kyle got some marks, simply from trying to separate them.
How bad? I asked.
Sir Henry has a bruise on his chest, and a cut just above his eye. Sir Kyle's lip was busted open, and there aren't any big scars besides that, but he feels sore from trying to contain Sir Burke.
You can stop calling him Sir, Dad insisted. Burke is leaving right now. The same for Fox.
Maxon, reconsider. Fox didn't do anything, Mom urged. I agree it was inappropriate, but don't make that choice on Edlin's behalf.
I will,
he yelled.
We did this to bring our people joy, to give our daughter a chance at the same happiness we have. And since it began, she's been assaulted twice. I will not have monsters like that under my roof.
He finished his speech, slamming his fist into a side table, knocking his tea onto the floor. I stiffened, gripping the arms of my chair.
Daddy, stop!
I pleaded, my words hushed with fear I might somehow make it worse. He looked over his shoulder at me, as if he only now realized Mom and I were still in the room. His eyes instantly softened, and he turned away, shaking his head. After a deep breath, he straightened his suit and spoke to the guard.
Before anything continues, I expect thorough background checks on each of the selected. Do it secretively, and use whatever means possible. If anyone has so much as gotten into a squabble in grade school, I want them gone.
Calm again, he sat beside Mom.
I unconditionally insist that Burke leaves. That's not up for debate.
But what about Fox? Mom asked. It sounds like he didn't really instigate anything. Dad shook his head.
I don't know. The idea of letting anyone involved stay seems like very poor judgment.
Mom leaned her head on Dad's shoulder. Once upon a time, I was involved in a fight during the selection, and you let me stay. Imagine how things would have been if you hadn't.
Mom, you got into a fight?
I asked, dumbfounded.
It's true,
Dad confirmed, sighing. Mom smiled.
I actually still think about the other girl often. She turned out to be quite lovely.
Dad huffed, his tone begrudging.
Fine. Fox can stay. But only if Edlin thinks he might be someone she'd have a chance at happiness with.
Their eyes settled on me, and I was confused about so many things at once. I felt positive it read on my face. I turned to the guard. Thank you for your update. Have Burke escorted from the premises, and tell Fox I'll speak with him shortly. You can go now. Once he left the room, I rose from my chair, trying to compose my thoughts. I'm not going to ask about that fight, though for the life of me, I cannot figure out why the two of you have withheld so much about your selection from me, and have only decided to share some of the bigger bits and pieces now, and after I've faced something you've already experienced. They sat there guiltily.
Mom met you before she was supposed to? I accused, pointing to Dad. Your candidates were all planted by your father. Maybe you could have given me a heads up about how to deal with a fight 2 weeks ago.
I crossed my arms, exhausted. I promised you 3 months, and I'm going to give you that, I said, taking in their worried expressions. I'll go on dates, I'll let people take pictures so we have something to print in the papers and to talk about on the report. But you two seem to think that if I stick this out, I'm magically going to fall in love. I stood there, shaking my head.
That's not going to happen. Not for me.
It could, Mom whispered tenderly. I know I'm disappointing you, but it's not what I want. And these boys are fine, but some of them make me uncomfortable, and I don't think they can handle the pressure of this position. I'm not going to handcuff myself to a weight for the sake of a distracting headline.
Dad stood. Edlin, that's not what we want either.
Then please.
I raised my hands in front of me, guarding myself.
Stop pressuring me to fall for people I never wanted here in the first place.
I clasped my hands together. This whole situation has been awful. I've had people throw food at me in public. Others have judged me over a kiss. One boy touched me against my will, and another flung me to the ground. For all the effort I put in to make things right, the papers have had a field day with the constant shame.
They exchanged a concerned glance. When I said I'd help distract people, I didn't think it would be this degrading.
Sweetheart, we were never trying to hurt you.
Mom looked heartbroken, close to tears. I know. And I'm not mad. I just want my freedom. If this is what I have to do in order to get that, then I will. If you want your distraction, I'll deliver. But please, don't place all those expectations on me. I don't want to let you down any more than I have already.
Chapter 25.
I knocked on Fox's door, kind of hoping he wouldn't answer. It had been a draining night, and I wanted to go hide under my blankets. Of course, his butler opened the door and pulled it so far back that Fox saw me before I could be announced. He looked as bad as I'd been told. One eye was swollen and surrounded by varying shades of purple. The opposite side of his head was covered in a bandage, as well as the knuckles across his right hand. "Edlin," he said, hopping up off his bed, then wincing and grabbing his ribs.
"Sorry, I meant Your Highness."
"You can go," I said hurriedly to the butler as I rushed over to Fox. "Sit," I urged. "Shouldn't you still be in the hospital wing?" He shook his head as he settled down again.
"I've been medicated, and they thought I'd rest better in my own room."
"How are you feeling?" I asked, though I could tell he was in pain.
"Besides the bruises?"
he asked.
"Humiliated?"
"Can I join you?" I asked, pointing to the spot beside him on the edge of the bed.
"Of course."
I sat, not sure where to start. I didn't want to send him home now, partly out of charity. I peeked at Burke's and Fox's applications before going to see Dad, and Fox had actually hinted a lot about his home life on his form. Typically, I was looking for mutual interests or things we could talk about, so I'd missed some important details about him. Living in Clermont, he worked as a lifeguard at the beach, which explained the sun-kissed skin and overly blonde hair. I got the feeling that it wasn't paying enough to support the rest of his family, though that situation was a little unclear on paper. His mother wasn't living at home, but I didn't know if that meant she had passed or not. I could also see his father was terminally ill, so I doubted he was contributing to the finances. Furthermore, if I'd paid attention at all, I would have noticed how much fuller his cheeks looked compared to the picture on his form now that he was getting fed properly. I wanted him to stay. I wanted him to keep his stipend. I wanted him to steal some of the things from his room when he left and sell them when he got home. But asking him to stay meant giving him hope.
"Listen," he started. "I understand if you have to send me home. I do. I don't want to leave, but I know the rules. I don't want to leave with you thinking I'm like Burke or Jack. Try not to think poorly of me when I go, okay?"
"I won't. I don't." Fox looked over and gave me a sad grin.
"I never got to tell you so many things. Like how I wish I could command a room like you. It's so impressive. Or how your eyes sparkle when you make a joke. It's really pretty."
"Do they do that? Wait, do I make jokes?" He chuckled.
"Yeah, I mean, they're mostly subtle, but you give it away with your eyes. And I can see how pleased you are when you're teasing us, like at the quiz the other day."
I smiled. "That was fun. Tonight was fun, too, up until the end."
"I'll never forget your face when you bit into that asparagus."
I pressed my lips together, pretty sure that his expression and mine had been similar. What made it better was that I knew how hard he'd tried, and he still wasn't upset over it. The only thing hurting him now was this worry that I'd remember him as something less than a gentleman. "Fox, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I need you to be completely honest with me. If I think you're lying at all, that's it. You'll be gone within the hour." He swallowed, the silliness of the last few moments fading from his face.
"You have my word."
I nodded, believing him. "All right. Will you tell me about your dad?" He huffed, clearly not expecting the conversation to head in this direction.
He's sick, which I guess you know. He's got cancer. He's still functioning pretty well, like he's working, but it's only part-time right now. He needs a lot of sleep. When he got sick, my mom left, so... I really don't want to talk about her, that's okay."
"That's okay." He looked at the floor as he continued.
I've got a brother and a sister, and they go on and on about her like she's coming back. But I know that's not happening. If she did, then I'd leave.
We really don't have to talk about her, Fox.
Sorry. You know, I thought the hardest part about coming here would be the distance. But what's so bad it almost hurts is seeing you with your family.
He scratched at his hair with his good hand.
Your parents are still in love. Your brothers look at you like you're heaven on earth. And I wish I had that. I don't have anything close.
I put a hand on his back. We're not perfect, I promise. And it sounds like you and your dad have something special.
We do.
He glanced over at me.
I didn't mean to get like that. I don't talk about my family a lot.
That's fine. I have other questions. He sat up straight again, and I could see the pain of the action. I pulled my hand away and rolled my eyes. Actually, I just realized this might be a hard one, too. He smiled.
Go ahead anyway.
Okay. Did you come here for me, or to get away from them? Fox paused, his eyes dead set on mine.
Both? I love my dad. I can't tell you how much he means to me. And I don't mind taking care of him, really. But it's also kind of tiring. It's been like a holiday here most of the time. I also think my brother and sister are starting to appreciate what I do, which is validating in a way. And then there's you.
He shook his head.
Look, you know I live paycheck to paycheck, and I come from a broken family. I realize I'm nothing special, he said, placing his hand on his chest.
And he suddenly got shy.
But you know, I've watched you my whole life, and I've always thought you were so sharp and beautiful. I don't know if I stand the smallest chance of getting to be with you, but I had to at least put my name in. I don't know. I just thought if I could get here, I'd find a way to show you that I could be worth taking a chance on. And then I got in a fight.
He shrugged.
So I guess that's how it ends.
I hated the disappointment in his voice. I didn't want to care. I knew that letting him get closer to me would end badly. I couldn't explain why I knew, but I was sure that if I allowed any of these boys to cross into a certain level of intimacy, it would be disastrous. So why couldn't I keep them from getting closer? I have another question.
Sure,
he replied, defeated. What's it like to work on the beach all day? He didn't try to fight the smile.
It's wonderful. There's something kind of fascinating about the ocean. It's almost like it has different moods on different days. Like, sometimes the water is so still and other times it's wild. And I'm so glad Angelus is warm all the time, or I don't think I could have handled it.
I love the weather here, too, but I don't get to go to the beach very often. Mom and Dad don't like it, and people end up swarming Aaron and me if we go just the two of us. It's kind of a pain. He poked me gently.
If you ever come to Clermont, look me up. You can rent a private beach and swim and lounge to your heart's content.
I sighed dreamily. That sounds perfect.
I'm serious. It's the least I could do.
I looked at my hands and back to Fox's hopeful face. How about this? If you make it to, say, the top three, we can go out there together and rent a beach. And maybe I could meet your dad. His face froze in shock as he understood what that meant.
I'm not going home?
Tonight wasn't your fault, and I appreciate you being honest about your motivations. So how about you stay a little longer, and we'll see how it goes.
I'd love that.
All right, then. I stood, feeling so many things. Before tonight, Fox was hardly a draw for me. And now, I was looking forward to seeing him around the palace. Forgive me for dashing off, but there's a lot to take care of before the morning.
I can imagine,
he said, walking beside me to the door.
Thank you, Your Highness, for giving me a chance. That's all you wanted, right?
I smiled. And you really can call me Edlin. He grinned and used his good hand to pick up mine. He placed the gentlest kiss across the ridges of my fingers.
Good night, Edlin. And thank you again.
I gave him a quick nod before I scurried from the room. That was one issue taken care of. But tomorrow there would be 1,000 more. The photographer had done such a remarkable job of blending into the background, I didn't realize she was still there when the fight broke out. Burke and Fox were front-page news, and the headline proclaimed that the first was ejected, while the second was spared. There were other pictures, too. Me standing next to Kyle, grinding saffron, and again beside Eric as he translated something to Henry. But they were all overshadowed by the animalistic rage on Burke's face as he threw himself at Fox. I bypassed that photo for the smaller ones with the others, tearing them out to save. I wasn't sure why. I ended up tucking them into the drawer next to Kyle's catastrophe of a tie. I walked into breakfast, feeling the weight of everyone's stares. Typically, that wasn't an issue for me. But between all the boys being over-curious about the fight and my parents' worried eyes, I was buried beneath all the unspoken words. I wondered if maybe I'd said too much last night, or if it had come off as me accusing them. I meant to explain how hurtful and draining this process had been, not to blame them for it. Still, as little as I wanted to participate, I knew I'd done what I'd promised. Burke's fist had overshadowed everything else in the country, at least for today.
What happened? Caden whispered.
Nothing.
Liar. Mom and Dad have been messed up all morning.
I peeked over. Dad kept rubbing the spot over his eyebrow, and Mom was trying to fool everyone by moving the food around her plate. I sighed. It's grown-up stuff. You wouldn't understand. He rolled his eyes.
Don't talk to me like that, Edlin. I'm 14, not 4. I read all the papers, and I pay attention at the reports. I speak more languages than you, and I'm learning all the things you have without anyone making me do it. Don't act like you're better than me. I'm a prince.
I sighed. Yes, but I will be queen, I corrected, sipping my coffee. I really didn't need this right now.
And your name will be in a history book one day. And some bored 10-year-old will memorize it for a test and then forget all about you. You have a job, just like everybody in the world. Stop acting like it makes you more or less than anyone else.
I was left speechless. Was that what Caden really thought about me? Was that what everyone thought about me? I had intended to be strong today, to show Mom and Dad that I really was going to follow through and prove to the boys that things like last night could not break me. But Caden's words made me, and all my efforts, seem worthless. I stood up to leave, trying to think of what I'd need to grab from the office. I certainly couldn't work there today.
Hey, Edlin, wait up.
It was Kyle, jogging to catch up with me. I hadn't even looked at him when I went into the dining hall this morning. His lip was a little swollen, but he seemed okay otherwise.
Are you all right?
He asked. I nodded my head. Then I shook it.
I really don't know.
He put his hands on my shoulders.
Everything's okay.
I was so overwhelmed, I pressed my lips into his, knowing that it would make everything else stop for a minute.
Ow!
He cried, backing away.
Sorry, I just...
He grabbed me by the wrist and swung me into the nearest room, slammed the door and pushed me against the wall. He kissed me harder than I'd kissed him, apparently not bothered by his lips so much if he knew what was coming.
What's this all about?
He breathed. I don't want to think. Just kiss me. Without a word, Kyle drew me to him, his hands lost in my hair. I grabbed fistfuls of his shirt, holding on to him tightly. And it worked. As we swayed together, everything else stopped mattering for a little while. His lips moved from my mouth and onto my neck. These kisses were different than before. They were aggressive and demanding, pulling all my focus. Without thinking about it, I dragged his shirt upward. He laughed devilishly into my cheek.
Okay, if clothes are coming off, we really ought to go to a room. And you should probably know my middle name.
Is it Ashton? Arthur? I feel like it starts with an A.
Not even close.
I sighed, letting go of his clothes. Fine. He leaned back, his arms still around my waist, smirking at me.
Are you all right? I know last night was kind of scary.
I just didn't expect it. It was asparagus. He literally punched someone over a vegetable. Kyle laughed.
See, this is why you stick with butter.
Oh, you and your stupid butter. I shook my head, tracing a finger down his chest. I'm really sorry about your lip. Does anything else hurt?
My stomach. He elbowed me a few times trying to get free. But I'm surprised I didn't get it worse. Henry's eye looks painful. Glad he didn't get hit an inch lower.
I grimaced, thinking about how bad it could have been. Kyle, would you have kicked them both out? If you were in my position?
I think I would have even had to consider Henry and me if I were you,
he replied. But you both tried to stop it. He raised a finger.
True. You know that because you were there, though the others have seen the papers, and the pictures make it look like we were all involved.
So keeping Fox, Henry, and you makes it seem as if you got away with something.
And that maybe others could, too.
This day just gets worse, I sighed, running my fingers through my hair and propping myself up against the wall.
Is my kissing that bad?
I started laughing, thinking back to the other night in my room. It had seemed so alien when Kyle wanted to talk to me, but I wasn't completely sure why I thought that now. I could have had a new outlet, a new perspective this whole time. Why haven't we really talked before? It's so easy. He shrugged.
You're the one in charge here. What do you think?
I looked down, embarrassed to say it. I think I held Josie against you. The constant imitation drives me crazy.
I think I held the palace against you. It's our parents' fault, not yours. But I lumped you in since you were going to be queen.
I can understand that.
And I know what you mean about Josie, but it's hard for her, growing up in your shadow.
I couldn't deal with adding Josie to the growing list of things I felt guilty about. I straightened my clothes, knowing that going to work would distract me. Let's do something soon. Not a date, just spending some time together. That crooked smile spread across his face.
I'd like that.
He started tucking his shirt back in, and I fought the blush that I could feel on my cheeks. How had I gotten so out of control?
And listen, he said. Don't let this stuff get you down. You're bigger than this election.
Thanks, Kyle. I kissed his cheek and left, heading to my room. I remembered how angry I was when I saw his name come up the day of the drawing, like I was being cheated somehow. Now, I didn't care how that form ended up in the pile. I was just glad it did. I hoped that he felt the same way. Chapter 26. Tonight was going to be a challenge. Yes, the pictures with Ian looked fantastic in print, and yes, the little game show clips came off as charming. But I wondered if Gavril would feel obligated to ask about Jack's and Burke's dismissals instead of focusing on the remaining candidates. What was worse was that I wasn't sure I had much to tell about the boys as it was. Dad was entering his security sweep, so unless the guards moved quickly, I wouldn't have any dates this week, meaning nothing to share on next week's report. Tonight had to matter, and I wasn't sure how to do it. I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off, like I was missing some key piece of information that would make the selection process better. It wasn't an absolute disaster in my eyes, if only because I got to know Kyle Henry, Hale, and Fox. But as far as the public knew, nearly everything was going down in flames. Even though I'd only glanced at the paper that day for a millisecond, I remembered the way I looked shrinking down on the parade float. Worse than that, I could still see people on the sidelines pointing and laughing. We'd kicked out 2 candidates this week alone for misconduct, and in their wake, every romantic gesture had been completely overshadowed. It looked so, so bad. I sat in my room sketching, trying to organize my thoughts. There had to be a way to spin this, to turn it into something good. My pencil zipped across the page, and it felt like each time a line straightened out, so did a problem. I'd probably have to skip talking about my previous dates this week. Bringing up one would require me to bring up them all. I didn't want to rehash Jack's hands on me. But maybe, instead of events, I could talk about what I knew of the boys. There was enough to praise, and if I came across as enamored by their talents, it would make sense to be confused about who to choose. It wasn't that the selection was falling apart, it was that there were too many good choices. By the time I had a plan, I also had a beautiful design. The dress came up into a halter, was very fitted, and ended mid-thigh. Over it, I drew a sheer, long bubble of a skirt that made it look modest. The colors I'd used, a burgundy for the dress and a golden brown for the overskirt, gave it a delicious autumnal feeling. I could imagine how I'd style my hair with it. I even knew what jewelry would look best. As I looked at it, though, I knew this gown was more suited for a starlet than a princess. In my eyes, it was gorgeous without end, but I worried about other people's opinions. More than any other season of my life, they really mattered now. "Oh, miss," Nina said, catching a glimpse of the drawing in passing. "You like it? It's the most glamorous thing I've ever seen." I stared at the gown. "Do you think I could get away with wearing this on the report?" She made a face as if I should already know. "You're basically covered from head to toe, and as long as you don't plan on coating it in rhinestones, I don't see why not." I petted the paper like I could almost really touch it. "Should I get started?" Nina asked, a hint of excitement in her voice. "Actually, could you take me down to the workroom? I think I'd like to help make this one. I want it for tonight." "I'd be thrilled," Nina said. I grabbed my book and followed her into the hallway, more excited than I'd ever been. It was worth the marathon of cutting and sewing when I walked in for the report, and the first thing I saw was the out-and-out envy in Josie's eyes. I'd worn a pair of golden heels and curled my hair so it fell loosely over my shoulders, and it was possibly the most beautiful I'd ever felt. The blatant stares from the selected only confirmed I was particularly lovely tonight, and I was so bewildered I had to turn my back on them to suppress my grin. It was then that I felt something was off. There was a pang of tension that seemed to be floating through the room, and it was far more powerful than the pride over my dress or the sense of admiration coming from the boys. It was so weighty, it nearly gave me a chill. I looked around, searching for a clue. Mom and Dad were in a corner, trying to be discreet. I could tell by Dad's tensed brow and Mom's gestures that something was wrong. What I wasn't sure of was if I could go talk to them. Was a few days of silence enough?
"Hey."
Baden had snuck up on me.
"Hi."
"Did I startle you?"
I focused politely. "No, I'm fine. A little lost in thought. Do you need something?"
"Well, I was wondering if I could invite you out for dinner or something this week. Maybe another jam session."
He strummed an invisible guitar, biting his smiling lip. "That's sweet, but traditionally I'm supposed to do the asking." He shrugged.
"So, Didn't that cooking thing happen because those guys invited you?
I squinted, trying to remember. Maybe, technically.
So, since I didn't grow up in the palace, I can't ask, but Kyle can?
I assure you, Kyle has less of an advantage than you'd imagine. I answered with a laugh, thinking of all the years of frustration. Vadin stood there, silent and unbelieving.
Sure.
I was completely shocked when he walked away, hands in his pocket and footsteps steady. Had I done something rude? I was being honest, and I hadn't actually turned him down. I tried to shake off the snub, focusing on my duty for the evening, being charming and gracious, and trying to convince everyone that I was falling in love. Dad passed me, and I gently grabbed his arm. What's wrong? He shook his head and patted my hand.
Nothing, darling.
The lie shook me more than Baden's dismissal.